Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey, everybody. This is Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me our youngest guest of the podcast. This is Kiera Colson. How are you doing today, Kiera?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So you have a cool story. First of all, you're an author. You are a senior in high school?
Yes, sir.
All right. And we're going to be talking today about blockchain, metaverse, NFTs. So you probably are closer to the target audience of all these things than me. But I've always tried to be a young thinker. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I like it. But talk to me about what happened with the pandemic and just how your generation has almost grown up online.
Absolutely. Like, I'm actually reading The Pandemic Population right now by Tim Elmore. And yeah, it's actually a really good concept from your generation's perspective, looking at our generation and what exactly happened and comparing it to the Great Depression and just the different ways each generation has overcame things. But the thing with our generation is that there was a fall in the market, and then you had the pandemic and we're separated, but we had an opportunity to be separated but also connected at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between us and other generations, is because the reality of what other generations grew up in is now a different reality for us, because y'all are trying to learn this new reality on Web3 when all of these teens are actually growing up in Web3. So this is their reality.
Oh, that's
good. It's not something they're having to learn.
That's good. So when the Great Depression happened, for example, although I wasn't around back then, I'm guessing that many of them in pandemic times would have would have gone outside, would have created their own fun, would have, maybe would have quarantined and not been able to talk with neighbors. But you'd think that obviously without technology, there would have been a lot more imagination, experimentation. But with us, or you guys went pretty much online with school, and you were able to have some form of social engagement, although it was different. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, I have obviously have three kids. Almost all three are teenagers now. So I saw it firsthand, but I'm not a teen. So what was it like to think, oh my gosh, we're in a global pandemic?
I feel like, so for my age, it was 10th grade when it started. So like, I'm over in the older area. And then for my brother, it was like elementary school. Mm. And so I think fifth or sixth grade. So it was really a different perspective there, because I remember what school was like when it was all textbooks and everything like that. And then when I went to middle school, we had iPads. And so you had a little bit of communication there, and like teachers had to figure out how to keep kids off of games and things like that. But then when the pandemic hit, we went directly all online. And for some teachers, that was difficult because some of them really like paper. But then you had to go online. It was a necessity. Mm-hmm. And so there were times when we were completely online. We went 2 days a week, and it was a really odd experience, but it became reality, because now most schoolwork is online. Kids are getting quarantined every 2 weeks or so.
Interesting.
And so there's kids that are inside the classroom, and there's kids online at home, but they're still able to engage in the classroom. So with all of this metaverse and things like that, you think about it, like now students will be able to put on a VR set and still be engaging in the in-home classroom. So we have the opportunity to be in reality, like the physical reality, and also virtual reality, and engage in both aspects. And that's where we're going to. It's a cool different area for education that's going to happen.
I like that. So your dad and I and you chatted this morning, and one of the reasons why is because you got this new book coming out. But I just purchased my first VR set, last week. And we have some fun things coming with blockchain life, with the metaverse. But, I'll talk with people about the metaverse and they say, oh, that's where we're all just inside a video game. And what's interesting is that I say, well, hold on, not quite. Let's talk through it, because the metaverse involves 2D elements at times. It's not just strictly VR. So let's first define it for everybody. In my research, I've defined it as, instead of viewing the internet, you are inside the internet.
Yes.
Another way I've defined it is that it's the virtual world and the digital world and the physical world integrating. So I feel like we've been, quote, flirting with the metaverse for years, being involved in some components. Mm-hmm. But what's different is that we're moving into a globally integrated metaverse.
Yes.
Where we are now having separate worlds. The term NVIDIA calls it the Omniverse. Mm. So it's a blending of, okay, you have this metaverse, this one, this one, this one. It's all becoming one. How important is it that someone's avatar would basically integrate and be able to go with them to other metaverses? Do you think that's an important piece?
I think it's very important, because I think about, like, for me, I don't really spend money on video games, but then I look at my brother's aspect and he's over here, will spend money on a Spider-Man suit just because that gives him credibility in his game. And so being able to take that Spider-Man suit and go to other areas, it's like, oh, so you're a gamer, or you do this in this world and you've done this. That's already a first impression and aspect for you to make connections in that area. Or my best friend loves Jordans, and getting that NFT and having that on your character inside the different worlds, that's already creating connections, because, like, oh my goodness, you love shoes. We can talk about that. And then you have brands who would, you know, obviously target the Nikes and things like that.
Mm. So what I want people to realize is that it might be easy to think, I'm going to write that down too. Target, you got me thinking. In fact, I'm going to send myself a text here. Hang on. Always learning. So I want people to realize, they might think, oh my gosh, that's so trivial, that your skin affects who you are online and your costume, your, you know, and people, if they don't know what a skin is, it's essentially, at least in Fortnite, it's how you appear.
Yes.
So I want people to realize, though, like, if you go up to a military officer, they have visual identifiers that demonstrate their credibility and their experience in different wars, different military campaigns. When I graduated from my master's degree, or when I got a doctorate, the academy has three stripes and has a certain hat when you become a doctorate. Like, I want people to realize that this isn't just a young person, teenager thing. We even saw hints of this with the blue check mark. So that was the pre-skin version of credibility online, like, oh, you're verified. So what would you say to parents who are saying that's trivial, or, you know what, adults don't do that? Would you like them to rethink that?
I would, because when you think about it, a lot of the teens, if we go back to the pandemic, a lot of them are like, certain jobs are destroyed. Their perspective, like, what am I supposed to do, was ended. Like, they didn't know what's going to happen. But now you look at the metaverse and Web 3.0, and there's all of these opportunities and things that teens can now go into, and adults can learn how to do it, and they can learn how to get into this world. But when teens already understand it, and this is where they're getting that credibility, because when you're in the real world, you want to, you know, you have Gucci or different brands that you walk around with, but it's the exact same concept, just in this other reality. And with teens having the opportunity to get invested in and learn this new world, they're going to advance a lot faster than the older generations just because they're already in this world. Like, my brother understands it better than me because he's already been playing VR for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And he's able to do all these different things, and he understands, like, there's the first horse racing out there, and he's like all into this. And it's a really exciting way for teens to make money and have an opportunity to build connections in a way that none of us have ever had the opportunity to do before.
I think that the brands that are really going to be industry leaders are willing to A, jump in, B, look dumb, yeah. C, experiment, D, invest time and money. So I'm told, in fact, one of the people that we interviewed in the past guest, he actually helped create, if I'm not mistaken, some of the Super Bowl NFTs.
Wow.
So this year, and by the way, I'm thinking things are going to happen with the Olympics in a few weeks. And again, that dates this podcast, but I want people to realize that even the typical sporting events, because I don't get into fights much at all online. Mm-hmm. I just choose not to. But this weekend, I did, because somebody on Twitter tagged me and said, help out this person. And it was a celebrity who said, I don't understand NFTs. To me, it's a big money grab. It's a waste of time. It's dumb. And what I basically did is shared why NFTs make logical sense. Then this person and their whole following like got all fired up, blah, blah, blah. I feel like they didn't want to learn. Mm. And my whole point was like, why are you asking for an opinion and to learn if the moment somebody shares with you valid points, you're like, well, they're just dumb. So talk to us about teens. Why, how do we have an opportunity right now as adults to learn from teens? Let's talk about your book, Teenfluencer Nation. How is this all relating?
Well, when it comes to learning, this is something teens are really interested in. I have not talked to any of my friends who are like, okay, tell me more. And I'm like, well, I don't know yet. I'm trying to figure it out too. So we're really all learning together, and it's something we're really interested in. Like with this podcast, I bought, thank God for Bitcoin that you mentioned earlier in the episode. I've listened to Metaverse Marketing, which is another podcast. So just really absorbing and like teams are all talking about it. So there's all these different areas in the metaverse you can go towards. Mm-hmm. And like one of my friends is like, hey, I'm going to learn about the Zed horse racing, and I'm going to tell you everything about it because this interests me. My other friend's like, I'm going to figure out how to make NFTs to sell Jordans. I'm going to figure out how to do this. So we're all like working in together and learning different aspects. And adults can learn from what the teens are experimenting with. But also teens can learn from adults, like taking advice, like, is this a good risk to take? Because with it, there is a lot of money that is involved. So teens are really just experimenting, trying to figure it out. And so when it comes to Teenfluencer Nation, which basically the main concept is being the influencers, not the influenced. Because right now there's so many teens, so many different things targeted at us that are influencing us, shaping us into who we're becoming without us even realizing it. Because you have the news grabbing our attention. You have every single time you swipe on social media grabbing our attention. And a lot of teens are lost. Like, who am I supposed to be? I'm not as good as this person. I'm not as good as that person. Because there's so many filters, so many expectations that are intentionally, but also unintentionally placed upon us by our mentors, parents, people we follow online. And so having that ability to step out of being influenced, but also being the influencers, is the large step with Teenfluencer Nation, which my book will be coming out in March, which is super exciting. But it's just a call to action about community, because Teenfluencer isn't about me. It isn't about one person. It's about all teens coming to collaborate and work together to build up the next generation and be the influencers. Because if I can influence one person, they'll influence another. And it's just like a giant domino effect.
It's so cool. And you're at a fun house where there's lots of little kids.
Yes, there is. They're screaming.
That's okay. That's all right. We're cool with it. We like it. So what I want people to realize is that I'm somebody who doesn't just say, I want to, you know, teens have a voice. I want to give you a voice. So talk about, I mean, naturally I'm your publisher. I had a conference. I chose you as a keynote speaker. What did that do for you in your, you know, just confidence? And, you know, I think that adults say, oh yeah, we need to listen to teens. They have a voice, but a lot of times they don't give them a platform. Yes. And I remember being a young person at one time and saying, I just wish adults would believe in me, or I wish they'd give us a chance to share, but it's almost like, shut up, you get sit in the back. What did that do for you? And why do you think teens today, maybe because of technology, have more chance to have a voice?
Having the ability to be invested into, because first it started with my parents investing in me to publish my first book. Mm-hmm. And then they taught me investing myself into a coach. So I did Speaker Academy Elite, which was under you. And then that's where that sort of opened the door to the opportunities for you to give me that platform. And that was an incredible confident boost, because there wasn't a lot of pressure, because you were like, this is your first opportunity. But also there was a lot of pressure because I'd never done this before. But once I got on stage and like saw the belief everyone had in me to help other people, it was such a great confident boost and really a confirmation in who I am and where I'm going. And yeah. So when adults invest in a teen, it can be in any way possible. For example, maybe you download Coinbase on their phone and you give them $10 to get their first Bitcoin. Wow. And that's their opportunity to start looking at the different stats and the charts. It can be really simple. Or perhaps you just listen to their stories, because you'd be surprised the amount of knowledge and stories teens have, because everyone's story is so complicated and so different. And everyone has something to give. And so just giving teens that opportunity to share their story will also give them the opportunity to see what their next step is. Because when we keep it inside, like because of technology, it's really easy to hide your identity and hide who you are. And teens also don't know who we are yet. And so having that ability to shine a light on our next steps and shine a light on our talents, not just our weaknesses, but also our talents, and able to build upon that is a really great opportunity when adults invest in the next generation. Because I've said this before, right now we're kind of in a cycle. It's like one generation grows and we kind of are stuck at this one point. Yeah. But if we can learn how to get out of the cycle and the pattern that all of us are living in and start building upon each generation, and each generation continues to advance, because it's not about my generation. It's not about the one who follows. It's about the improvement and the progress we can make.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who are in their 20s. I know that sounds weird, but it just happened recently. And I have a lot of friends in their 60s. So I'm 45. Every guy I work out with is in their 60s. Some of them late 60s. They've been 20 years ahead of me for the last 20 years that I've been working out with them. And then I have a lot of young friends. I was a youth pastor, but now it's because I'm hiring them. I say, look, you have capabilities that I don't have. So here's why you stuck out to me. So I want all the young people. Maybe we'll do this. Let's do this. I'll talk about why you got my attention, because I think there's qualities that young people could learn from your example. And then why don't you tell me why it seemed inviting? Why you did say yes? Okay. So what stuck out to me is I like to test people with small tasks. And I feel like sometimes with teens, maybe we're like, here, take this huge project, and they haven't developed yet the experience or confidence, and it's too much. And I'll borrow a principle from Stephen Kotler that says, he says, you want stretch, but not snap. He's speaking about flow, but
yes.
Basically says too much stretch and the person will snap, too little stretch and they'll be bored. So with you, we kind of said, hey, here's a project, go with it. And I think I hired you, I don't know.
Facebook coordinator.
Facebook coordinator, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. so a while back, but as you kept showing yourself faithful, you kept having more and more responsibility. So I think that's a great thing. And then just showing up on time, being prompt, dependable, I think developing trust. Those are all, I think if a young person can do that, adults will be impressed. What got you to say yes to these different opportunities?
I would say what got me to say yes was, one, the passion and the interest I had. Also that I can't recall what the name of it was, but I was watching a video under Fiery yesterday, and it was talking about how getting towards your mentors and studying under them. And like a couple years ago, you were just a mentor that I was watching and listening to a podcast to. And so just that opportunity to study under you was insane. Mm. And that was something that really caught my attention. And then the opportunities and learning experience, because when I was working with the tribe, that was cool because I used to be in the tribe. So yeah. When you find a team and you notice what their interest is, maybe there's someone that they admire, putting them like in a course or something is like the first step. Because that's what my parents did. They put me into the Author Academy Elite course, and I didn't even know that's what they were doing.
Yeah. But
that's what happened. And so just that opportunity to study and learn what I already found passion in that necessarily wasn't even in school. Mm-hmm. Just that ability and the community, and it was amazing.
That's so good. Well, the next few months are going to be huge for you. March, your book comes out. I'm going to fire off some things. We have a very special term called blockchain integrated gamification.
Yes.
And that's a mouthful, but it's about authors and their books becoming integrated with NFTs and blockchain. And you're going to be one of our first pilot people. Super excited about that. You have a Teenfluencer Summit that Dr. Brant Gibson said, hey, I see how you're faithful. I'm going to entrust my brand. How did that feel to know that you're going to like co-lead a whole online summit?
I mean, absolutely crazy, because I, a year ago, was just doing interviews online for fun, and then I was doing it for my school. And that's one thing for teens, is just start out in your school trying certain things. Because I was on the student council, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to do interviews.
Mm.
Only my school's going to see it. But also, that's a big confidence booster, because sometimes your peers are the hardest people
yes.
to do things in front of. So doing that was a confidence booster, and now that I'm going to be doing it with the Teenfluencer Summit is just an absolute honor and really cool learning experience. And that's just the thing. It's like experimenting and experience things
yeah.
young, because it's, you're going to learn. Even mm-hmm. if you fail, you're going to learn something.
Love it. I also like how you were willing to invest in yourself. You spent your money to join and become a better speaker. Like, that says a ton. A lot of times teens will spend money on clothes or video games, but you said, I want to spend money on myself to grow. And then I think what happened naturally is totally the next logical step. People started hiring you. So talk about that, like how I think a lot of people in personal growth, they don't realize that they just want to be hired. But to be hired, you first got developed personally. Yeah. So tell us that story.
So I definitely agree with that. Is just learning how to invest in yourself is a really important skill, because a lot of times, like, you'll have sports and it just logically makes sense to get a coach and a one-on coach if you want to go.
Yeah, interesting.
And then you have school and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to get a tutor. Like, that's embarrassing. So then you have like counseling, like, there's different aspects, but it's all the same thing. It's investing in yourself and learning that skill, because you can't grow into who you're meant to be without having other mentors invest into you. And so when I had that opportunity to do SAE, which was with Lisa Moser, and she was also one of the people, I read her book, Misconceptions, like 4 years ago, and then getting to study under her, was amazing. And when you have, because a lot of people, because I've been asked, because I'll be launching my coaching program this year, which is about teen success, and it'll have lots of ideas, lots of exciting things to come with that, because it won't just be one-on-one. It'll be about making connections for teens in different areas. Mm. But with that, the opportunity to invest in yourself, and then later on people start investing into you, is because they see that opportunity. And people have asked me, like, why will teens spend that money on that? Why do you think, what, how are they going to get that money? You can find the money there, whether that's through your parents, whether that is just not spending money on video games in one aspect, or not going out to eat every single Friday. There's different areas where you can find the ability to invest the money, or there's scholarships, different ideas like that. But having that ability to invest in yourself is going to position you where people will see, oh, well, they know this now. Now I'm going to ask them questions about it. And then you have the ability, perhaps you study their course. How did they set up the course when you were going through it? Because then you can make your own course and your own knowledge. And there's so many different areas that teens can set up a course in different businesses. Like my very first thing was doTERRA. And it was just this essential oils thing on my Instagram. And I was learning how to do that. And that was like my first step into the entrepreneurship world. But then with teens, just studying everything everyone else is doing and just putting it out there, your own little thing.
That's awesome.
That's a cooking class. You do a little cooking class yourself, and that's your first step into that experience.
Wow, I like it. I like it. That's so good. And let me tell you this, it doesn't end. So today, at 45 years old, I made a special video for a big person that I want to meet with in another state on Friday. And I had to put myself out there, and I had to read their book and show that I'm serious. So we think it's just a teen thing sometimes that you have to prove yourself, but really it's a human thing. And I think better to learn it when you're young, because you'll develop that muscle and you'll want to do that for the rest of your life. But some adults are scared because they were scared as a teen and they never took a risk. So talk to me about, as we kind of wrap things up, talk to me about how you believe the choices you're making now are creating patterns for the rest of your life.
We have to think about it with habits and relationships and all of these different things that impact you young. You're setting up how your future is going to look like, because a lot of people can get stuck living in the past, or they can get stuck living in the future, when we need to learn how to learn from the past, live in the present, so that we can set up our future. And so basically, when you start building these habits, just like when you're working out, you're going to get stronger and stronger. And so if you're learning communication skills, you're learning how to put yourself out there and invest in a course, invest in something that's going to get you noticed by someone that you truly admire, because there's people that I want to meet. And then when you're older, there's going to be people you're going to want to meet. And a lot of people think with the screen and stuff that that person's unreachable, but they're a person too.
Yes.
If you can get their attention, you can have a conversation with them. You never know where that door is going to lead, and everything, just like how we're building upon each generation, every habit, everything you're doing young is building upon who you're going to be. And we all get 24/7. And so you get to choose how you spend it.
I love it. I love it. So your book's called Teenfluencer Nation. We have the amazing privilege of publishing it. Super excited for you. We're even going to do some, I would say, interaction at Igniting Souls Conference this year for the first time ever with teens. Super excited about that. You have your NFT thing going on. Lots of big things. Where can people find out more about you and follow you, get engaged with you, and even maybe some teens want to hire you?
Well, you can go to my website, which is my name, kiaracolson.com, and that's got the book, the hiring, all of that fun stuff. And then if you want to connect with me, my Instagram is kiara.colson, which is kiera.colson, C-O-L-S-O-N. And that's where I'm always in the DMs, so you can slide up, have a conversation with me. I'd love to connect.
That's so good. Love it. We'll be in touch and can't wait to see all of your success that you're doing.
Thank you so much. This is an absolute honor.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.